Thanks for joining us for another great message from Futures Church Australia. We hope it inspires you, encourages you, blesses you, and brings you joy. For more information about our church, go online to futures.church. And now for our message.
We're going to start a new series for the next little bit at night in our PM service. We're going to do this in our city campus here at Paradise called Why. And we want to help you to understand why we believe what we believe and why we do what we do in church. Because if you have recently joined church, or even if you've been church all of your life, sometimes we have a thin layer of understanding on why we are who we are and why we do what we do. And I want to help you today to go from, and in this next season, to go deeper and richer, because as you go on with your walk, we don't want to just stay where we are, we want to progressively grow. And so essentially, let me illustrate it this way. It's football season. Now, who does not care that it's football season? Fantastic, I've lost the room. And who is excited that it's football season? All right, here we go. Who thinks the Crows will at least make the finals this year? Fantastic. Again, who doesn't care? Fantastic. No one said a word. And there's a difference when you get to footy season or any sporting season between a fan and a follower. A fan and a follower. Now, there's lots of fans. Lots of fans. You know, earlier this year, Pastor Ashley and myself, at end of last year, we actually, the Crows, this is a cool little side story, the Adelaide Crows marketing team met with Pastor Ashley and I to get advice on how to connect with the community, on how to increase their fan base, and how to reach the next generation. How cool is that? There's a little flex, but no one cares. Anyway, there you go. Fantastic. And so anyway, we met with them, and one of the things that they've done really, anyway, we advise them on, is that they need to increase the amount of followers. The problem is that they don't have enough fans because they don't give 3-game tickets. Anyway, all the way to the side. But there's people that follow the Crows that are fans, and they go to a couple games. They watch a couple games on TV, but they're not followers. Like, a fan loves the wins and disappears in the seasons where the team's losing. But a follower is there during the highs, and a follower is there during the lows. Isn't that right, Darren and the West Coast Eagles? A fan knows a couple of the most famous players, but a follower knows all the players, the managers, the coaches, knows everything behind the scenes. A fan turns up and looks the part on game day, but a follower knows what's going on behind the scenes before game day. You see, 3/4 of people that watch football are actually fans. I'm making this number up, but it's probably about right. And about 1/4 of the people that follow football are followers. And I actually reckon it's the same when it probably comes to the word. And when it comes to understanding of Jesus, his teaching in the church. At best, I think probably sometimes 3/4 of us are fans of Jesus. And 1/4 are followers. And there actually is an invitation to go to a deeper place where we know more than looking the part on game day, knowing a couple of scriptures, being there when things are good, but going to deeper places. Jesus had a lot of fans. And he had a few followers. To the followers, he was like, drop your nets, leave your family, leave all your lifestyle, go all in and follow me. But to the fans, when the teaching came that was a little bit tough, or persecution came, or Jesus was crucified, it went through what looked like a loss or a difficult time, well, the fans disappeared. And this is what sometimes happens with our walk with God too. Which is why we're going to do this series and this time, and it will extend into our connect groups in the next few terms, and it's going to go into our morning sometimes. We're going to start talking about understanding the why behind what we believe and what we do. And when you see a story, a passage, or a teaching in Scripture repeated not just twice but 3 times, Jesus is giving a message for the whole church. Not just for the lost, but the whole church. And there is this one story about the seed and the different services the seed goes on that is actually repeated in 3 of the Gospels. It is so important that the church understands it, that when I begin to teach this, I guarantee over half the room will switch off and go, well, I already know what the surfaces are and what the story means because we think we're there. But I want to say to you today, no matter who you are, myself included, maybe there's more than we realize, which is the very point of this parable. The truth is that when we look at this story, this is actually the difference between fans and followers. And probably when it shows the scripture, there's four surfaces, three quarters are fans, because he's talking about people, and one quarter that ends up seeing fruit is a follower. And three times this is described because it goes for all of us, this is for all of us to understand. So this parable I'm going to teach you and show you that Jesus teaches starts in every version of this, it starts this way. It's found in Matthew 13, Mark chapter 4, and Luke chapter 8. And I'm just going to go through a bit of Matthew today. Matthew chapter 13, Mark chapter 4, and Luke chapter 8. But all of them start this way. We'll use Matthew's version. A farmer went out to sow his seed. He went to sow his seed. All of these parables start with the seed. What am I talking about? The seed. And of course, the seed is God's word. You understand? When it talks about the seed, he's not actually talking about seed, he's talking about the word. He's talking to an agricultural society, so he's using a farming illustration. But he's saying the seed in all of these stories is the focus, and the surfaces are us. So Matthew starts and says that this is the message. Luke starts saying the seed is the word of God. And John's version says the farmer sows the word. It's obvious in all of these stories, Jesus is talking about the word. Now, anytime you see a seed always represents potential. What this is saying is that the word always has more potential in it than you realize. Because a seed is potential. What is a seed? A seed is a tiny little thing that has something inside it way beyond what you see on the surface. You see the surface and the size of a seed, and you think you know what's on the inside, but the truth is when the seed is planted in good soil and is allowed to grow to its fullest, there is always more potential and more fruit inside the seed than you could ever realize. And the seed is talking about the word. It means maybe you've read the word before, maybe you've learnt the word before, maybe you've heard the word before, but he's saying there is more potential. There is 100 times more potential inside the word than you could ever realize. There is more beneath the surface. A number of years ago, we got a dog called Buddy. Huge mistake. Can't get rid of him. So we thought, let's try again with this animal thing. And maybe 2 or 3 years ago, we decided to get a little turtle. It was for my son, Jordan. It was Jordan's turtle. We called him Jordal. And this is a picture of Jordal. This is how a few years ago, cute little Jordal. Now, the thing is, we've been feeding Jordal and we've been caring for Jordal, and Jordal has begun to grow. So don't go to the next picture yet. We realize that he's outgrown the size of his tank. And every day when we go in, we literally walk in the kitchen and Jordal's like this. I don't know, that's the sound of the water splashing. And that's how it came out. So, it's kind of like a, what is it? It's flapping, like he's flapping. That's his feet. It's more like, anyway, forget it. Oh, how does he go, Shans? Do the sound though. No, okay, all right, fantastic. And we realize something. Jordal, his environment is not big enough, and what he's being fed is not enough for his growth potential. So we went to a vet, literally yesterday. And by a vet, I meant a pet store. I'm just flying back from Malaysia. I'm all over the place. And we went and said, curious, this short-necked turtle, Jordan's turtle, Jordal, how big is he going to be? And this is how big the turtle's going to get, right? This is how big our turtle's going to get. Can I say, yet again, when it comes to pets, we've made a giant mistake. And we said, how long will this turtle last? And the person said, 120 years. So we have one pet that morally I can't get rid of, the other pet that's going to outlast us. And so now our food, it needs to grow, and our tank needs to grow, and this turtle, Jordan's turtle, is going to outlast us. So literally, I had this conversation with Jordan. I said, Jordan, it was your turtle. I'm going to make you a deal. It's your Christmas present. I'm going to give you $200 if I can give away the turtle. And he began to tear up. I thought it was a negotiation tactic. I went straight to 500. I'm an easy sell. And he's like, no, I won't give away my turtle. I then spoke to both the boys and said, a dog and a turtle, $2,500 each. And they said, no. I didn't know where I was going to get it from, but can I say it would have been worth it? But they didn't agree. And so long of the story, anyway, I nail parenting. And so what we've had to do is we decide we're either going to get a massive tank or I'm going to put in the backyard a pond. And do you know where I landed? Because I'm an idiot. A pond. I literally put in a pond in my backyard for the dinosaur that we purchased a couple of years ago. Here's my hope. I'm hoping the turtle's happy and the dog drowns. But anyway, fantastic. Don't judge. It's being funny. It's okay. If it's funny, it's okay. Unless it accidentally happens, then it genuinely is an accident and don't report. But so what we've had to do is we just had to realize we need to adapt and make sure we've got the right environment and that we've got to feed the turtle more. See, these two things we realize about the sea, okay, is that in order for the seed to reach its potential, the environment has to be right. Can I say, the first thing about a seed, and this is to the side, a seed has to be planted. Makes sense. Because seed has to be surrounded in the right environment, and when it's in covering, when it's in the soil, and not on the soil, not on the surface of the soil, but it's in covering, it will grow. Can I tell you, for you and the word to come alive in you, the church is the environment in which the seed is planted. That, can I say, get your kids planted in church. Make a decision that you won't be a church visitor, you'll be a planted Christian in the house of God. And that when you get in the environment, watch what God does in your life. And the second thing about the seed, and then I'll get into the word for a moment, is that the seed needs to die. I wish there was an easier way of saying it. So let's just say how Jesus said, unless a seed is buried and dies. The truth is, for us, when we have the word in us, we do have to die to some things. If you want to see fruit, you can't just have the word and not die to old habits. You can't just have the word and not die to old thinking. You can't just have the word and not die to my own ways. The truth is, when the word gets in you, something has to die to the old way of living for it to feel fruit. You see, Jesus is not concerned with your convenience. And anyone that's made you feel Jesus is all about making your life convenient, can I say, he's not concerned with your convenience. He's concerned with your growth. And discipleship was never meant to be set up to be a comfort blankie that you put on to feel really good about your life. It was there to allow you, in God's grace, to die to the old things and grow a new life as a new creation, to receive the new wine of the Holy Spirit, to live a new life, so one day in eternity we would be renewed with him. So he's like, get yourself in an environment with same-spirited individuals that were dedicated to the same self-dying process that you are in. And then when we die to our flesh and let the word get inside of us, he promises there'll be life. In fact, all of these verses say something like this. In Matthew 13, verse 23, it says, but the seed, this is the end one, the fourth soul, but the seed falling on, read this with me, good soil refers to someone who hears the word and, watch this, understands it. Catch this. This is the key for the whole message. Because sometimes we've heard the word and we think we've understood it, so therefore I don't have to hear it again. But hears and understands it. And this is the one who produces a crop yielding 100, 60, or 30 times what was sown. This is the end fruit. So Jesus before this refers to three other soils. This is the fourth. And each of us, watch this. I want you to catch this. Look at me for a moment. Sometimes we're like, the first soil, they're the lost people. They're the people that don't know God. They're hard to the things of God. I want to say, we are all of these soils at one point or another. And often, we end up being the first one. And maybe let me show you why we have to understand the why behind the things we do and believe and understand, so that we don't just go, got it, heard it, know it. But if we want to see this revival that we're believing for, if we want to see 100, 60, or 30-fold harvest in our life, we actually have to have a deeper understanding of the word. So are you okay today? Let's go to the first surface, the hard soil. Matthew 13. In each of these, Jesus gives the parable, the story, and then he gives an explanation to his disciples. I'm going to read both. The first one. A farmer went out to sow his seed. And as he scattered the seed, some of it fell on the path. And the birds came and they ate it up. What is Jesus saying here? He explains it. When anyone hears the message about the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches it away. What was sown in their heart? This is the seed sown amongst the path. Keep that up for a moment. Firstly, he's indicating it gets in your heart, which actually means this isn't just for the lost, which we sometimes thought. This is for Christians. And the key is not whether it's the seed is good, it's whether you understood what was received. It's whether we understand the word. So some seed, the word sometimes in our devotion and in church, it falls on a hard path. Maybe say it this way, maybe it's a hard heart. Or maybe it's not trying to make you feel bad, maybe it's a hurt hard heart. Or maybe the word just never settled. Here's what this is, and I want you to catch this, because I think I do this sometimes. And I guess maybe you do this sometimes. Sometimes we come to church and we hear the sermon and we walk out and it hasn't changed us at all. This is the first soil. Sometimes, I don't know if this ever happened to you, but I'm guessing it might have. We read the word and we read it but never understood in a fresh way by the grace of the Holy Spirit. We don't chew on it. We don't think on it. We heard last week's message and we never gave it another thought again until we came into church this week. So the seed was sown, but we never understood it. We never contemplated it. We never thought on it. We never dived deep into it. And therefore, without us being bad people, we have hard soils. The truth is, even as I speak right now, you could be hearing but not listening. But what's amazing, he doesn't even say the problem is the listening. He says the problem is not just if you're listening, it's if you're understanding. So this is actually something that often we struggle with because I've heard it before. I've heard this passage before. I've heard the sermons before. I've read the Bible before. I've memorized the scripture before. And the difficulty is understanding and allowing the Holy Spirit to make us soft enough to keep on understanding. Give an example. Sometimes Charles will say, can you go to the shops and get this, 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 and this? And I just say, yep. And I go and I stand there in the aisle and go, I actually was not listening. And when I go home, Charles was like, yeah, you weren't understanding. And because I actually was hearing, but it actually just wasn't getting in. And while I might get to the right location, I actually don't have a revelation, and therefore there's no, if I want to rhyme, activation that allows me to come home with the fruit that she asked for. If you want to have fruit in your life, it's not enough just to be hearing. It's actually not even enough to be listening. You have to ask the Holy Spirit to help that word rest in you until there's understanding. It's like, sometimes we're like, I'm going to read my 10 chapters every day because if I do that, I'm a faithful follower of Jesus. Sometimes I think someone that reads so much is just a fan, because a fan can read heaps of content. But if we don't have understanding, we're not actually a follower. Which is why the difference is Jesus told the parables to all the fans and they heard. But to the disciples, he explained the parables because they were followers. See, it wasn't enough for a follower to have the hearing. They had to have the understanding. Is this making sense? So I have this issue too. Sometimes I open the word and I read something I've read before and I'm not looking for understanding. I've just done reading and I think that I have discovered all there is to know about a passage. And it's like, how can I? Can a fish describe to the Creator what the sea is? Can a bird describe to the Creator what the wind is? And can I describe to the Creator what the word is? Can I see something and read something just because I've been in church for 10 months, 10 years, or 100 years and say, therefore, I have understanding? I don't. So the moment I believe I have it, I actually am like hard soil in which the fresh word of God that is always alive and active, not just the old word, but the word is always fresh and alive, wants to have potential on the inside of me, and I think I've worked it out. Sometimes people are like, Josh, because we preach a lot, you know lots of scripture, how do you have it all there? Can I say, let me use this illustration. I'm not necessarily a good baker. I just want to find fresh bread when I open the word. So I'm preaching a scripture I've preached before, but I'm not preaching it the way I've preached it before, because I've said in context of what the Holy Spirit's telling us to teach, I'm asking him to give me fresh revelation of the word. Does this make sense? So some of them are like, it's cool. I skip past the hard soil because I'm a follower of Jesus. As a follower of Jesus, we have to first ask, have I gotten a little hard? Am I hearing? Am I listening? Or am I understanding? Can I say how you do this just to help you? Prayer is the key that softens the soil. So when we go to read the word tomorrow, if you just open it, first pray. God, soften my heart. Search me, seek me. Help the word to come alive on the inside of me so that I'm not just a fan and having done my devotion or turned up on Sunday for game day, but I want to be a follower that understands so I can have a harvest in my life. Amen? Cool. Number two, the next service, which is about a lack of depth. He goes on. Now he's going to give the parable and then he'll give the explanation. Some fell on rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because, watch this, the soil was shallow. Now the seed is the word and the surfaces are us. So the problem here is that we can be shallow. And when the sun came, watch this, and the plants were scorched, it means there was a plant, it means you grew, and were withered because they had no root. Jesus tells the fans this, but now to the followers, he describes. The seed falling on rocky ground refers to the one who hears the word, watch this, and at once receives it with joy. I mean, we turn up with joy today. We turn up with life today. I'm ready to receive, and you are. You're not hard, you're soft. I'm ready to receive. But since they have no root, watch this, it only lasts a short time. When this is the key now. I'm going to show you something maybe you haven't seen before. Maybe you have. When trouble or persecution come because of the word, they fall away. They quickly fall away. Now, the problem with this second soil, which is us, and this is all of us at sometimes, me too, is a lack of depth. So we've heard the word. I've actually understood the word to a degree. I've understood. I've got one revelation of it. Maybe I've heard a couple preachers and a couple commentaries, and I've got some revelation of the word. There is a joy in receiving. There's no hardness there, but maybe there's not enough depth of understanding. The why matters. Can I say just quickly, the world is not looking for superficial Christians. The world, if they're going to follow us, if the people that don't know Jesus, they're looking for you to have some depth to you. We say, if you're changed, the world will follow. No, I think a changed life is a window that they will look into your house, but understanding is the doorway that allows them to come into that place of transformation. I tell you, the more the world sees AI and technology happen, which will be artificial, the more the world won't be satisfied with superficial. And therefore, as Christians, they're not looking for a quick answer. They're looking for depth of understanding that must come from revelation, not just from participation in coming to church, putting on the Crows uniform and cheering on game day. It requires us to go from fan to follower if we want others to be followers of Jesus as well. Amen? Which means this has to, our church has to have depth. It means we have to, and you and I have to have a depth of love and a depth of culture and a depth of purpose. And in the word, you need a depth of understanding. Because this is what it says, right? When the heat comes, when the sun comes, it says this, when there's trial and persecution. What does this mean? When you lose your job. Or when that position is retracted, or the opportunity doesn't come as often, or it feels like there's silence from God, the heat comes on your life, and suddenly that's testing. That's testing. And watch this. I want you to catch this tonight, and I think this is the part that will help you. Here's the truth. I've heard people preach, and I've preached for a long time, how do you get depth in the word? You read the word, and read the word, and read the word, and read the word. But this is challenging just that concept and say, maybe there's more. When the trial comes, depth comes from the ability to understand God's correction. This is how you get depth. you allow God to correct your understanding. Now, sometimes we hear correction and we think, oh, but I've done nothing wrong. No, no. Correction doesn't mean you're bad. Correction means God shows you what's more right. Does this make sense? So sometimes we're like, well, I've read it, I've understood it, I've written on it, I've taught a connect group on it, I have understanding. But what God does is he allows trials and difficulties to bring scripture to life so he can show you a deeper revelation of what you've not understood fully. So what happens is we've interpreted what God means with the word as Christians. Because sometimes we're like the second soil, that's for shallow Christians. I actually think that's for Christians like me that's followed Jesus for 40 plus years. And I think I've worked out what a passage of scripture means. And I thought I've had that understanding for so long, yet God wants to give me a deeper understanding than I've ever had before. You see, depth comes from teachability. And what happens is we start off teachable. And sometimes I hear people like, come on, you got to teach us something in church we've never heard before. We're going to have taught every passage in the Bible at some point. It's not about us teaching you something you've never heard before. It's about you being willing to be, for the Holy Spirit to show you something you've never seen before. Because we're familiar doesn't mean we have all knowledge. So this is why when we come to this teaching, if I say, why do we give? I reckon a lot of you can give a lot of answers, but maybe there's deeper reasons you've never understood before, and we've got to allow ourselves to have a depth to us so we can take root. Why do we worship? I'm sure we can all give answers, but maybe there's more to know than I know and you know about worship. Why do we suffer? Next week, Pastor Sarah is going to teach you on this. Why do we suffer and why did Jesus suffer? Because we've all got understanding and people will ask us questions, but unless there's a depth to you when the suffering comes, or when the giving opportunity comes but there's not enough, or when I don't feel like worshiping or I'm struggling, it actually allows me to have to go deeper into the word or I wither away. So God's saying here, Jesus saying here, maybe there's a greater depth that even the greatest scholar can go to, because there's no way that any of us have made it yet. So if you're new to faith, welcome to the club. All of us are still trying to understand more and go deeper with God so that we can see potential. This is why there's no separation from those that have done it for years or those that are new to faith. We celebrate and worship Jesus and grow together, Jesus, because we're all trying to go deeper. Amen? You see, information, what is that? We sometimes come to church and feel like I'm getting information. No, information is formation in me. It's when I hear the word, I'm not just reading the word and getting information again. I'm getting formation in me. I'm allowing myself to be formed and renewed and changed. What we do when we read the word is I'm constantly saying, let there be a formation in me, not let me just read information as we know it. So it's there. When we have the ability to realize that there will be pain and suffering and disappointment and discouragement, God teaches me to go beyond what I understand. So maybe instead of when we go through difficult times, just going, I'm going to just quote the same scripture again and again and believe if I quote it, I get out of trouble. And I believe in quoting scripture. I do. I do it myself. But maybe it's there. God doesn't want you just to remember scripture, but understand scripture and say, during my trials and difficulties, I'm going to go deeper to understand and let the Holy Spirit reveal through my struggle more than I've ever seen before. Does that make sense? It's personally. It's when I read the word. I actually think sometimes it'd be better to read less and let the Holy Spirit speak more, that we chew on and remember so we grow, rather than just going through content, because that makes me feel that I'm a follower, but maybe makes me more of a fan. Does that make sense? Cool. The last service I'll talk about is the choke seat. So the first one's just hard. And it's not that you're hard to God. It's just maybe we're not really hearing. And maybe it's not just hearing, but understanding. The second one is that maybe I feel like I've heard and have understood, and you have, because there's a plant there, but maybe God wants to take your roots deeper, because maybe there's more to understand in all of who he is, in his infinite glory, goodness, and wisdom than you, I, or the greatest Bible teacher in the world could know. So bit by bit, we don't have to be there yet, but we let the Holy Spirit reveal to us there's more. Amen? The last one is the choke seed, and just the keys can come. Just the keys will be fine tonight. Matthew 13:7. Jesus is talking to the fans, and then he'll explain to the followers. He says, the other seed fell amongst thorns. which grew up and choked the plants. This is actually plants. These are trees. These are fruit-bearing plants that have grown in God's goodness. Now he explains. In Matthew 13, 22, the seed falling amongst the thorns refers to the one who hears the word. But watch this. The worries of this life and the deceitfulness of wealth choke the word, making it unfruitful. This isn't bad soil. And can I say we're all of these at different times, including the first one, fruit-bearing trees. But this one is those that have seen fruit and we have grown and we have gone to a measure of maturity, because the soil is good. It's actually perfect for growth. So even when the soil is perfect for growth, you know what good soil will always have? Weeds. Right next to my fruit-bearing tree is going to be weeds, because amongst the good soil will always be things that grow up to try and choke the life out of what is good. See, because in God I have potential, that same potential right next to it will grow the very things that try to rob me of my potential. And here's the thing, I want you to catch this, because we will all get deceived with this at sometimes. A weed looks like a plant, but isn't. And a weed can look fruitful, but isn't. So you can be a mature Christian with the potential of the word in your life, but that doesn't mean what will grow next to you is going to be things to choke the life out of the word's potential. Mark explains it a little bit more. Jesus, watch this, he's very deliberate. In Matthew, it's different writings of the same story. It says the pleasures of this life and the deceitfulness of the worries of this life. Worry will be a potential killer. And the desire or the deceitfulness of wealth will be the other one that goes for you. Mark expands a bit more and says, still others, like seed was sown amongst the thorns, hear the word, watch this, but the worries of this life, the deceitfulness of wealth, and watch this, the desires for other things come in and choke the word. The word. You can have the word, but it chokes out the potential of the word. So of course the worries, I mean, who doesn't know what it is to be worried? What a battle it is to believe and understand and then activate the truth of the word more than the worry that's in your mind. This is the test. You can be rich in the word but give in to worry, and you won't see the fullness of God's plan for your life. So you have to choose, even though there's reason to worry, not to worry. And then it goes on to the deceitfulness of riches. Jesus never says money is bad. He says the love of money, the need to have more, the focus on it more than I focus on him, the promise of my own human smarts to get wealthy versus the richness and promises of his word that promises to bless me. So they're the two things. But then this third one, the desire for other things. I just say this because I think we all face this one. It's the need to, rather than open the word or chew on the word, to pick up my phone and flick to Instagram or TikTok again. It's that need to always have that person in the front of my mind rather than first the word of God in my mind. It's when that job or task replaces our thinking, rather than thinking on his promises, I'm thinking on what I have to do. What that is when something else takes priority in our mind and in our spirit, we give our attention to it over God, it begins to choke the life out of us. So the question is, if the word motivates you to life, and if the word can speak to you, if the word gives you potential, and if the word can speak healing, if the word can speak hope, and if the word can show forgiveness, and if the word can show all that God's potential, the question is, when I jump on social media, does it push me to pray more? And when I talk to that person, do they encourage me to become more like Jesus? And when I finish that day at work, do I feel closer to the kingdom of God, or do I feel more spiritually weary and lethargic? Because I'm not saying all of those things are bad, or that we shouldn't work or strive for more. I believe it. I want to set my family up. The Bible says a wise man leaves an inheritance for his children. Children, it's not that we shouldn't strive and believe for those things. It's what has the greatest priority and importance in my life. What speaks to me? Because when I am a fruit-bearing tree, inevitably that means there is going to be more weeds than even the person that is a hard heart. So it's actually the deeper I go with my understanding and the longer I go in following God, the more possibility there is for other things to choke the life out of me. Jesus in his goodness is actually speaking to all of us. He wants us to live life where we see 100, 60 or 30-fold harvest. And he wants us to say, for every one of us, we're going to be one of those services sometime where we all read the word or come to church and it's gone before we walk out. So we change our posture. Or where we've had an understanding and thought we've got it worked out, but we haven't softened our hearts enough to say, Holy Spirit, through the difficulties and trials of life, let me see more of you, Jesus. Or where those distractions and things come that have taken our attention of him first, we are all there. But at some point we have to choose, God, I need to know why. I need to understand more of you and more of your word and more of your plan. I don't want to just be someone that's a fan that comes and lifts my hand on Sunday but then shrugs my shoulders on Monday. I don't want to be someone that just looks the part and knows a few scriptures but doesn't know the depth of what you're saying to my life. I don't want to just be someone that walks into a world and looks like they're a follower of Jesus when actually when they ask the deeper things and want to get past the superficial, there's not much depth there. I want to be someone that has a richness of the word, and that's from the person that finds Jesus today to the person that found Jesus 80 years ago. He's saying there's more. God's desire is for you to have a fruitful life. So this is not a story of judgment or condemnation. It's a story of invitation to say he has more. So he places potential in his word and puts his word inside of you. And the way, again and again in this scripture, the word and potential is activated is through understanding. Simply this. In this next season, on this night service, and Connects, and some in the morning, we just want you to come in and posture yourself to ask this question. Not, I know, but why? God, show me more. Help me to have understanding. I think it takes prayers like this. Psalm 139. Says, search me, God. Know my heart. Test me. Watch this. And know my anxious thoughts. Because they'll choke. See if there is any offensive way in me. And lead me in the way everlasting. Holy Spirit, I pray for this church. For every person here. For every person that's new on the journey of following you and every person that's followed you for all of their life, I pray, God, that you would soften me and soften us so that your word would go deep. I pray as we've heard your word tonight, they wouldn't just bounce off and we would disappear into our Monday, but today it would go to a place where it resonates and speaks to us all week long. I pray tomorrow when we open the scripture that you would soften our hearts to hear you and see you and know you deeper. Holy Spirit, I pray that through life's trials and difficulties that I would allow you and we would allow you to correct our understanding, to challenge what we know and to take us to places we've never been before beyond what we've just heard. And I pray, Holy Spirit, there would be nothing that competes for your priority and position in my life. So God, for all the worries that come to choke the life out of the potential that you put in the word inside of me, I pray, Lord God, even though there are things to worry about, I wouldn't worry about them. And I pray that, Lord God, while there is so many distractions and things that pull me to getting ahead in life, I pray that your word would be the thing that brings harvest in every one of us. And I pray for all those desires and things that come in the way, those things on the social media and friendships and career and life and disappointments. I pray that even though they are there calling us, that we would hear your word calling us even greater. I pray no matter who we are, that Lord God, we would be a people, that we would grow into maturity and deeper places, that we would go to the richness of the word in a way that the world would be changed by our understanding of your goodness and grace, the Holy Spirit in us, that we would see in our life and our world a 30-fold harvest, a 60-fold harvest, a 100-fold harvest in Jesus' name. So search me, God. Know my heart. Test me and know every anxious thought. See if there is any offensive, self-righteous, self-knowledgeable, historical, me-centric way in me. and lead me, lead us in the way everlasting. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
I pray this sermon has blessed you, encouraged you, and inspired you. You know, we may never have met, I may not know you, but God knows you. And I want to tell you today, God loves you. That even before you knew about Him, He loved you. And He has a plan and a purpose for your life. You know, so many of us do life on our own, trying to lead our life in a way that finds answers and finds the peace and finds the joy we're looking for, but we come up short. But God knew that you needed rescuing, that you needed saving, that you needed His love. So He sent His Son Jesus to come and pay the price for our mistakes. He lived a perfect life, but knowing we couldn't, He said, I will take their place. So He died and rose again so that His death could pay the penalty for my mistakes and my past, and His life could make a way so that I could have life. I believe that when you believe in what Jesus did, and when you invite Him to be Lord of your life, you can experience forgiveness, peace, hope, joy, purpose, and life like you've never known before. It's not about what we've done or who we're not. It's about that we have a God who's good, who can turn things for good, and loves you. He's a father, He's a friend, and you can invite Him into your life today by simply saying this prayer after me. I'm gonna say this prayer, and wherever you are, wherever you're watching around the world, pray this prayer with me. Maybe you once knew God and you walked away. You know what? Maybe He's getting your attention today to say, come back into relationship with me. Maybe you've known religion, but never a real genuine relationship with God. Why don't you say this prayer too? And I believe this can be the beginning of a great new day. Let's pray. Dear God, thank you for loving me and giving your life for me. I pray you forgive me for my past and you walk with me into my tomorrow. Let me know your grace, your forgiveness, your peace, your purpose, your joy, and your hope into my life. I ask you to lead me and guide me from this day forward. Be Lord of who I am. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm so glad you prayed that prayer today. I believe that as you did, the peace, the grace, and the love of God comes into your life. You know what? The past is real, but it doesn't have to dictate your future. Let the love, the grace, and the word of God go with you from this day forward, and I believe the best days are ahead for you. If you prayed this prayer or you want to know more, maybe you're on the journey, why don't you flick us an email so we can send you some material about following Jesus. We can maybe connect you with a local church near you that you can do life with, get good people around you, and we would love to pray with you. I'm so glad you prayed that prayer. I'm so glad you're on the journey of following Jesus. I'm so glad you listened today. God bless.